Section. We're going to look at beginning at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, reveal to us what you would have us to know, to do, to respond, and give us courage to respond. Amen. This to me sounds like a two-session sermon. It's a lot in here, but I'm going to be brief because there are several things in here I want to bring out. First of all, Paul wants us to know what his qualifications are. According to law, according to heritage, according to tradition, according to all of the things that would make a person puffed up inside, he was perfect in it all. So much so that he thought he could walk on water. When he watched Stephen stoned, they laid their garments at his feet. Paul watched. He was so puffed up, he thought he had done everything right. And according to what the law says and everything like that, Paul says, I did it all right. But then Jesus came, and he showed me that my righteousness is garbage. No matter what I think of myself, what I think of how good I am, Jesus showed me it's not even close. He justified it too. When he was doing those things and persecuting Christians, he justified them. Just as we justify things that are not pleasing to God in our lives. Finally, he says, the things that were gained in my mind, those things that I was so proud of, I count these loss for Jesus. I've lost that pride in those things, because that which gave me pride turned out to be my downfall, says Paul. And he says, not only that, but I count everything else as loss. I have lost all things for Christ and count them as dung. We're talking manure. That he might win Christ Jesus. Because there comes a time in life when you realize that there's only one pearl worth having. And you're like the merchant that had many pearls and saw this one pearl of great price and sold everything else he had, all his possessions, for the one pearl. And a man who was looking at a field, dug in it, found a buried treasure, buried it back up, and sold everything he had, that field, for that one treasure. That nothing else matters when you finally come into the comparison of it. There was a preacher who was having his son and other kids learn the value of money in his children's story one Sunday morning. He had a shiny, shiny copper penny, a nickel, a dime, a quarter, and a paper dollar. And he said to each child, which one do you prefer? And most all the kids pointed at the dollar. Came around to his kid. And his kid just saw the shininess of that copper penny. And he said, oh, surely not my kid. My kid won't be the one who's silly, who doesn't understand. And his son points toward that shiny copper penny and says, I want that one. But would you please wrap it up in that big green one? Because I don't want that one without the green one. Please. We're all wrapped up in something that's more precious and shiny than what we can see. And to see that joy, to know that there is one thing which nothing else in your life can touch, is to find Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, have I found Christ? I ask them this. Has your life begun to reflect with great joy? Is there nothing else in your life more important to you than you found Him? If you have something that would keep you from spending time with Him and it seems to be quite important, does it pale in comparison to the time you spend with Jesus? That's how you find out your gods and your idols. Paul says, I count everything loss that I may somehow win Christ Jesus. And having not a righteousness of my own, which I may have had according to the law, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, which is by faith, which is given. And verse 10, that I may know Him. That's why you have God's righteousness, that you may know God and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed into His death, that in some way, somehow, I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. That He doesn't want anything in His life that'll stand in the way of that. Even if He's not sure, or it might be questionable whether it's a good thing or a bad thing in His life, He says, I don't want any questions about it. If it causes my mind to wonder about it, gone. And Paul says in verse 12, not as though I've already got this resurrection or was perfect already. Rather, I keep following after it to apprehend it. That also the things I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. And he says he forgets those things that are behind him and reaches forward to the things before him. And what's before him? Eternal life, the grace of God, the bestowing of God's glory on him, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. This is verse 15, and this is the verse where I want to spend just the last moment or two together on. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, or who would want to be perfect, be thus minded, that we're seeking the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And if in anything in your life you're otherwise minded, or in other words, if there's anything in your life that doesn't line up with the mark of God and the calling of God and Jesus Christ to you, listen to this. God shall reveal this to you. When God shows you something in your life, as I mentioned in this morning's message, and you say, well, God, you know, maybe later, God is revealing it to you. God is saying, I'm showing you something. Be glad. Say, God, thank you for showing me something that's in my way because you want me more. Closer to you. You want me to have more of your goodness and righteousness, and you're showing me something that's keeping me. Thank you. Thank you. Help me to cut it out of my life. I don't need it, God, and you're showing me this. What do we usually say? God, why are you showing me that? I like that, God. You know, you're working on me, God. You don't have to work on that yet. You work on something else. You don't touch that right now. Work on this thing here. Work on my patience, God. Not that. Help me be more patient. And as a matter of fact, God, help me be patient and waiting for you to do this when I'm ready. I'm not ready for that, God. God, long suffering. I want to suffer with this some more. I want to endure it, God. I want to love this bad thing in my life, you know. Lord, that's the fruit of the Spirit, God. Let me have some more of it. That way when you forgive me, God, and I get cleansed from it, I'll have a lot to get rid of. And then I'll feel like I've really done something. But right now, it's just a little bitty thing, God. So since it's little, don't worry about it. When God reveals it to you, He's ready, and so are you. And it's His mark that He loves you. And He doesn't want you enslaved. He wants you sanctified, holy, pure, where He can dwell. There is a thought that I want to leave with you, the thought that will not leave me alone. And I thank God it won't. And that is that God wants to dwell in a sanctified, pure, clean vessel. That He desires to reign and rule in holiness, and for us to be that place for God to dwell. Does it not say in Scripture that God does not dwell in buildings made with human hands, but rather in our heart? It is very true that when we come to God, He washes our spirit whiter than snow. Our body is now sanctified, but our mind, will, emotions, and our thoughts are still needing cleansed. When God reveals it to you, He's saying you're ready. Here's something else to get out of the way so you can have more of my fullness. Later on in Philippians, it says Jesus did not consider it mockery to be equal with God, but He was stripped of that Godhead and became as us. Why is it that something that wonderful, fullness of God, dwells in Christ and He's stripped of it to become like us? So He can understand us and help us in our time of need, so He can be tempted and suffer with us, that we might be raised up with Him. Why is it that we want to stay on this level? And when God shows us a place in our life to work on, we're hesitant to say, God, You may think I can live on a higher level, but I don't think I can. But Jesus Christ has come down to our level so He can lift us up to His. We don't have to stay down here on this level, living out our own righteousness, our own good intentions. We can live out God's. God wants you and I to be a place where He's pleased to dwell. Hebrews 11 says, He's not ashamed to call us His children because we call Him our Father. And those who call Him and they're seeking for Him are not content with the way this world is, make it clearly plain that they're seeking a new kingdom whose builder and maker is God. And my heart's desire is that each one of us would say, Lord, make my heart, build it, a place where You live. That righteousness is by faith. And when God reveals something to you, thank Him and let Him have the work complete. Comments, questions, thoughts?
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay, it says it's touching the law and a Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee.
Yes.
Tell me again what the Pharisee said.
Okay, the Pharisee's job was to interpret the law. They copied the scriptures. They made the copies of the scrolls. And they interpreted the law. Another sect at that time that was based on docetic living, for very holy living people.
Okay, so one wasn't just the law part, and one, I thought maybe the Sanhedrin were the priests of the temple or something.
The Nazarenes. The Levites. The Nazarenes. The Levites took care of the temple. That's where the temple... What do you call it? Caretakers came from.
So the Levites had nothing to do with being whether one of them might be a Pharisee or one of them might be a Sanhedrin. They were just the Levites.
Right, because that was the tribe, right? Now, they didn't get a part of the 12 tribes of Israel. They got the temple, but they didn't get any tribe land. That's what they got. And then everybody had to bring them a tithe and food sacrifices, so they could eat and live, survive. Yeah. He's still working on me. Kind of fits that message, doesn't it? I thank God that He is patient, but I also thank Him that He's working. That He loves me enough as I am, but He loves me too much to leave me that way. Any other thoughts?
I have noticed that with me, that it seems like when God is starting to work, he just stands there and just gives me more rope to get tangled up in. And then there's always just a feeling of, humor. When I realize what I've done and so forth, it's such a peaceful feeling. And it's just like He has to let you suffer before you learn. Or maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I think, you know that saying, it reminds me of that saying, let's give them enough rope to hang themselves. Well, God gives us enough rope where we can realize we're glad He's got the other end. I'm still fascinated at potters who can take a lump of mud. Basically, to me, it's mud. An ashtray when I get done with it, usually. or a paperweight, usually. I made more paperweights than anything. But it amazes me how they can look at it and they'll say, as they're spinning it on the wheel. And I'll say, well, that's beautiful, they'll say. And they'll stop and look at it, and they'll go, and they'll admire it for a while. And I'll go, that's wonderful, but they'll see a little imperfection that I couldn't see, that my eyes are not trained to see. You're getting where this is going already, I know. But my eyes weren't trained to see it, and I'd say, that's beautiful, put a handle on it, and I'll take it home. And they said, no, there's an imperfection on there, I can't sell it, that it's going to have my name on the bottom of it. It's not going out like that. And I said, I won't tell anybody there's an imperfection on it. Put the handle over it. And he said, no, no, no. You know what he did? Crumpled it back up in a ball, put the water back on it, and finished it. And when he was done, he put his name on the bottom and says, now we can let this harden and fire it. I accept this one. We seem to be the casual bystander of our own lives, saying, it's good enough, God. Because I see some things you can't. And let me show you. And I'm going to remold again. And your life's going to take a new form again. But we always are like myself watching this master at work. I'm so impatient at times watching people do work for my car. Okay, it's done. I haven't put the tires back on yet. Oh, okay, put the tires on. We got to balance them first. Oh, okay, balance them. We got to put them on the new rims first. The new tires, those are the old ones. Oh, okay. And we got to check the brakes. We got to rotate. And I'm going, so many things, so many things. And he says, do you want it right or do you just want it? And I think that's what God asks us about our life. Do you want it right or do you just want it? The answer to that is our prayer life. Any other thoughts? I enjoyed tonight's service. Let's stand for benediction. Thank you, God, that you, in your mercy, look at us and you see all the things in us that we're ashamed of, the things that make us proud, and you just smile and you say, I know they're there. Whenever you're ready, we'll take care of the things that we can take care of. Heavenly Father, help us to be ready quicker, to listen quicker, to change more readily, even when it seems like a difficult thing. Amen.